It's 106 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You're listening to The John Phillips Show. John's away for a couple of days. It's Randy Wang here till 3. 800-222-KABC is the phone number. 1-800-222-5222. It's Throwback Thursday. The theme for today is songs with the word loser in them. If you have any suggestions, you can email us at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. I have a few picked, but if you'd like to throw them in, we'll try to get them in there throughout the rest of the day. The theme is songs with the word loser in honor of Gavin Newsom. 800-222-KABC is the phone number. And by the way, if you've missed any part of the John Phillips Show, you can download the podcast at KABC.com. I just posted the last hour where we took your calls on replacing Metro Police with transit ambassadors. Here on the Fix California Hour, we try at every single level to improve the lives of everyday Californians, and even more specifically here in Los Angeles, improve the lives of everyday, and Garcetti ruined this word for us, Angelenos. And I would say the number one concern all around for most people these days is public safety. It's more important than gas prices at this point, because some people are getting robbed at the pump. And it seems like ever since a certain district attorney took over about a year ago, things have just gotten progressively worse and worse and worse when it comes to the victims of crime in Los Angeles County. And what do you know, the district attorney, George Gascon, he does not have a unified organization that is behind him 100% on the changes that he has made to his office, like not enforcing enhancement, resentencing people that have been in jail for years, and the latest one, getting rid of death penalty convictions. To talk to us about this is L.A. County Deputy District Attorney John Hatami, who you can find on Twitter at Jonathan Hatami. That's H-A-T-A-M-I. John Hatami, welcome to the John Phillips Show.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you so much for having me.
So what is your boss, George Gascon, doing now with the Attorney General to get rid of death penalty convictions?
What's happening is completely outrageous. It's George Gascon is basically disregarding all the voters, disregarding victims, disregarding their family members, and basically working with the new Attorney General Bonta to reduce death penalty cases to life without the possibility of parole. And he's doing it in secret without telling anybody about it. It's outrageous.
Now, let's just, for a primer here, as somebody that has worked in L.A. County for as long as you have, how rare, in what circumstance do we even go for the death penalty here in Los Angeles County?
So here's the thing, and that's a great question, and I'm going to tell you this. We rarely seek the death penalty in Los Angeles County, rarely. I've done one death penalty case. That was the case of Gabriel Fernandez. And I've been in the office 15 years, and I've handled quite a lot of murder cases. Many deputy district attorneys in Los Angeles don't do any death penalty cases because we rarely seek the death penalty in Los Angeles. I could tell you that the majority of the cases that I've seen and the case that I handled, we had 100% evidence. I have talked about Gabriel's case all over the United States. I have never come across one person who said that they didn't think Osiris Aguirre didn't deserve the death penalty. Even people who are against the death penalty have told me that for him, they think he deserved the death penalty. And so I will tell you, the DAs that I've worked for are very careful about seeking the death penalty. We have a committee that you have to go to and you have to present evidence. And death penalty cases in Los Angeles, as far as I'm concerned, are 100% evidence cases. And they're the worst of the worst, Randy. There are individuals who are killing and torturing children. There are individuals who are raping children and killing them. There are individuals who are hog-tying family members and shooting them in the head. There are individuals who are killing police officers. These are the worst of the worst cases that we seek the death penalty in Los Angeles, and it's very, very rare.
We're speaking with Deputy District Attorney John Hatami on George Gascon's new move to overturn death penalty convictions and reduce them to life in prison. Now, procedurally, it looks like what's happening here is anybody that has a death penalty conviction, if they are appealing that, George Gascon's office is taking their appeal without contesting at all and saying, sure, we're going to vacate that.
I mean, basically, you're correct. So under the law in California, and the death penalty passed in California in 2012, and again it passed in 2016, the majority of Californians have voted for capital punishment. Under that law, individuals who are sentenced to death, condemned inmates, can file. They get automatic appeals, and they also file what's called a habeas, which they're allowed to contest any aspect of their case. Those habeas petitions are supposed to go to the Attorney General's office. George Gascon met with Bonta in secret and decided that those habeas petitions would end up not going to the Attorney General's office, but would go to the L.A. District Attorney's office. And then George Gascon handpicked a public defender to work in our office, in the DA's office, and he handpicked that public defender to handle all of these habeases. And that public defender is not contesting any of them. And so she has about 67 death penalty cases, and four of them they've already overturned, and they've done it in secret. And these four cases are really, really egregious cases. It's an individual who broke into a person's home and hogtied a mom and her 16-year-old child and shot them both in the head. It's an individual who was a habitual rapist, who raped numerous individuals and then raped and killed somebody. It's an individual who killed an entire family. And so these are really, really bad cases. In addition to that, Randy, they're not even notifying the victim's family members, and they're not notifying the actual prosecutor on the case. And so, in addition, one more thing, they also, these cases are monitored, and so they're in a computer system, and they've removed these cases from the computer system. So even people who are against the death penalty should be shocked and saddened that the district attorney's office, who works for the people, is doing all of this in secret, and it really lacks transparency.
What would be the purpose, if you believe so much in what Gascon believes in that he's doing, if it's truly what he believes in, and not notifying the victims of these horrific crimes that these murderers are going to get a lesser sentence? Why wouldn't you notify the victims?
Because he wants to let them get out. What he's going to do is, when you reduce these cases to life without the possibility of parole, what people don't realize is what that does is let the governor, Governor Newsom. So Governor Newsom, George Gascon, and Bonta are all friends. So you let the governor now that you've reduced the case to life without the possibility of parole, the governor now can reduce that to a life case. And if he reduces it to a life case, that means there's the potential that person can get parole. So I believe the reason they're doing all of this is they're trying to allow people to get released out of prison, and they don't want to tell the public they're doing this. They don't want to tell the victim's family they're doing this because they're afraid of the media. They're afraid that, you know, everybody would get upset and realize that what they're doing is dangerous. But they just don't care. They just want to release people out of prison. They've been doing it all through this COVID situation, and they've been endangering the public. And every single month that George Gascon has been in office, the homicide rate has increased, and they just don't seem to care.
No, it seems like the thing that he seems to care about, outside of replacing lifelong career prosecuting attorneys with public defenders, is reexamining every criminal case that has been done in this county for years and years and years, and reducing sentences because he deemed that those sentences were unfair based on his phony data and science.
I mean, you're exactly right. What we have right now is not a DA. We have a politician. We have a politician who's imposed his own personal beliefs, and it's over the will of the people. He doesn't care about the people. He doesn't care about normal Angelenos. He told the mother of a murdered victim that she was uneducated and to shut up, and so he just doesn't care. He doesn't care, and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. Under the guise that he claims that he has a mandate and everybody voted for him. Just because somebody voted for you doesn't mean you get to break the law. Just because somebody voted for you doesn't mean you get to ignore family members and victims and people who live here. It doesn't mean you get to ignore children, children who are being abused or killed. But he seems to think that he gets to do that.
Yeah, he definitely, no matter what the voters have decided, he believes that he knows better. You take, for instance, the same election where he won district attorney by a slim margin, but he did win. That same election, there was a proposition on the ballot about ending cash bail, which went down in flames. Yet even though the will of the voters is that we do not want to end cash bail, he has done everything possible to end cash bail in Los Angeles County.
He has. He believes in zero bail. He believes in releasing individuals. He believes in releasing murderers. So he does not believe in public safety. He believes that it's more important to coddle the murderer, the rapist, the child abuser over helping individuals who are doing their best to live here in Los Angeles and try to make a living. He does not care about the murder rate. He does not care about the rate of crime. He does not care. He lives in a gated community, and, you know, he has a lot of money, and he does not understand what us normal Angelenos have.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
To go through on a daily basis, that we deserve to have safe homes. We deserve to have safe schools. We deserve to be able to go to the park. We deserve to be able to go out and eat and not be attacked or harassed by anybody. He just doesn't care about that.
We're speaking with Los Angeles County Deputy District Attorney John Hatami. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan Hatami, H-A-T-A-M-I, about the policies of L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon. Now, as somebody that has worked on the inside for years and years and years, how difficult has it been to do your job when so many administrative positions are being replaced with people from the public defender's office who are really representing the other side?
It is incredibly hard. We have some of the best prosecutors in the nation working here in Los Angeles, and they're fighting every day for you and for everybody. We say that we don't work for George Gascon. We work for you. We work for the people. George Gascon is just a politician, and politicians come and go. But it is very, very difficult. He makes it very difficult for a lot of us. The morale is very low. He harasses a lot of us. He doesn't promote a lot of us. You know, I have said that no matter what, I'm going to continue to fight for children. I handle child murder cases. I just finished a case yesterday where we got a guilty on a person who murdered a 2-year-old little boy. And all I'm going to say is I don't work for George Gascon. I work for the people, and I work for the victim. I work for their family members. And I believe that the prosecutors are doing that, too. But I hope that the Board of Supervisors hears this. I hope that the mayor hears this. I hope that the governor hears this, because the only elected person who's helping victims and trying to help us is Alex Villanueva. He is the only elected official that I know that actually is stepping up and actually trying to help normal Angelenos. Nobody else wants to get involved in what's going on in the DA's office. They just don't seem to care. And it's shocking. But we're going to, you know, no matter what, Randy, we are professionals. And the people in my office are going to continue to fight for you no matter how difficult it is.
Well, and I really do appreciate that. Before you go, I want to go really quickly back to this specific issue on the death penalty, because George Gascon, before his claim to fame of being L.A. County's district attorney and San Francisco's district attorney, was the man that authored Proposition 47, which the voters saw as the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, which reclassified tons and tons and tons and tons of crimes from serious crimes and felonies to misdemeanors. It has led to, at the very least, the explosion of shoplifting throughout the state of California. And unfortunately, voters don't really understand what they're voting for when something is put on the propositions. You go back to 2016, there were two separate propositions to vote on, one to end the death penalty and one to expedite the death penalty. The death penalty ending, that did not pass. Prop 66, which was supposed to speed up the process so people can't appeal for 20 years, that did pass. But here is what's shocking, is that what we didn't know we were voting for is that because because of Prop 66, according to Rob Bonta's office, that gave him the power to push all these death penalty appeals to the local district attorney, giving George Yascon the power to reverse all these sentences.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what they do is they pick and choose what they want to follow and what they don't. And so just like you said, if they agree with something, they'll follow it. And if they don't agree with something, they won't follow it. And so what they've done is take Prop 66, which gives Bonta the authority to hand things off to the local district attorney, or gives them the authority to handle the cases himself. He doesn't want to handle these cases because he knows his attorney generals, his deputy attorney generals would not lay down and allow a condemned inmate to be able to get their sentence reduced because he knows he has to follow the law. But he's given it to George Yascon. And as you know, George Yascon believes he doesn't have to follow the law. And he just does what he wants. And there is nobody who will stand up to him. There is no elected official, with the exception of the sheriff, that will stand up to him and say no. And so this is what's happening, is they take laws that they want to follow, and they follow them, and then they take laws that they don't want to follow. So they just do whatever they want. But Prop 66 did not say local DAs could take habeas condemned inmate cases and then on their own, not notify the victim's family, on their own, in secret, collude with the defendant, the actual person who murdered individuals, and help them get their sentence reduced and do that in secret against the will of the people, and causing a major issue with public safety. Nobody said that that's what Prop 66 said you could do. But George Yascon seems to think that that's what it says he could do.
Well, and just like when George Yascon ran for district attorney, he didn't say that he was going to be reversing death penalty sentences, ending gang enhancements, ending gun enhancements when gun violence is such a huge problem in Los Angeles County. But that's what he's doing. Unfortunately, the only recourse we have as voters is the recall process. Is there going to be another effort to recall George Yascon?
So, yes, they are working on another recall. They hope to launch that in January. I hope, you know, Angelenos realize, even if they haven't been victims of crime, it is horrible to be a victim of crime and have a DA who doesn't stand up for you and be your voice. Somebody who loses a child and the DA is not willing to stand up for that parent or that family member and fight for a murdered child. And I think anybody in Los Angeles who has children, I hope they can relate to that. Because if you're not willing to fight for murdered children and for those family members, you don't deserve to be the LADA. You just don't. And I hope people hear this, because we need to fight for one another. We need to stand up for one another and for what's right. And DAs should stand up for the people. And that means fight for the most vulnerable. And he's not doing that. And I hope Angelenos rise up, come together, and get this guy out of office.
L.A. County Deputy District Attorney John Hatami, thank you so much for everything that you are doing for crime victims and working through this injustice in the justice system right now. We really appreciate you not only doing your job every day, but speaking out against the insanity that's going on at your office right now.
Thank you so much, Randy. I totally appreciate it. I really, really do. You take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. That's John Hatami. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Hatami, H-A-T-A-M-I. So we just spoke with L.A. Deputy District Attorney John Hatami on the colossal failure that George Yascon is. Before George Yascon was District Attorney of Los Angeles, he was District Attorney of San Francisco and then quit in the middle of his term because he saw that this was a bigger platform, moved to Los Angeles and ran for this job. Don't even know how that was allowed, but it was. And in his wake, an even worse district attorney took his place, a man named Chase Aboudin, who is actually facing a recall effort on his own because he doesn't enforce a whole bunch of different crimes, including simple quality of life crimes like you cannot park your car without it getting broken into in San Francisco. Little things that used to be a bigger deal, but then Prop 47 came along. The same Prop 47 that George Gascon wrote. The one that lowered the threshold of what is actually a felony shoplifting, stealing. It's petty theft as long as you steal under $950, and you'll just get a ticket. Nothing will really happen to you. And there has been such a huge wave of shoplifting incidents, especially in San Francisco, but there have been plenty here in L.A. County as well, where you've seen stores like Walgreens closing locations left and right because, well, they can't handle all of the loss from all of the theft that's happening on a daily basis. Well, I was curious to find out exactly at what point, because the stealing is completely rampant. It happens on a daily basis. It's not just the homeless. There are these organized retail gangs that are going around and stealing every single day. At what point does somebody actually get arrested for stealing in San Francisco? And what is the dollar value? Because it's supposed to be as soon as you steal over $950 per incident, not per day. If it was per day, maybe we'd slow down some of the shoplifting here. No, it's $950 per incident. So if you go to a mall, you could steal $950 from the Claire's. Don't really know what they would have there. That's a lot of cheap earrings. You could steal $950 from Mrs. Butterworth's cookies. Okay, you know what? The mall's a bad example for this. You could steal from Macy's and JCPenney's, unless they're having one of those huge sales. One of the big victims of shoplifting in San Francisco and throughout the entire state is Target. And one woman is finally being charged with shoplifting and stealing, but she didn't get charged until she stole more than $40,000 of merchandise from Target. For more, let's go to our friends at KGO.
Turning now to a development we first brought you to during our 4 o'clock hour. The San Francisco District Attorney's Office says one of its operations has led to the arrest of a woman accused of more than 100 separate thefts from Target.
We couldn't arrest her on the 99th theft or the 98th. I keep doing this. We waited until she stole from Target 100 times to go after her.
ABC 7 News reporter Tim Johns spoke with District Attorney Chase Abudin today, as well as concerned business owners about rising retail theft in the city.
Amid an ongoing saga of retail thefts in San Francisco, District Attorney Chase Abudin announced Wednesday his office has filed 128 charges against a woman accused of stealing more than $40,000 worth of items.
There's the number. Once you steal $40,000, then the District Attorney of San Francisco will finally go after you. So you've got quite a bit of breathing room, because that means if you're stealing, let's just say you're a light stealer. You're only stealing $950 per day, and you would have to probably, that means for 50 days straight, you could steal and then they'll finally catch up to you.
Target.
It is highly unusual to see a case with this many charges and this many instances.
It's hard to see a case where you actually charge somebody, Chase.
We hope and expect that in most cases, when someone is committing repeated acts of crime, whether they be property crime or otherwise, that they will be arrested before it gets to this point.
The incidents took...
Really? Because if they get arrested and that case gets referred to you, you'll prosecute them? You will? Not too sure about that. Usually these people do not get charged, or they get out the exact same day. And again, if they're stealing under $950, it doesn't even count as a crime. Not even a misdemeanor. It's an infraction.
The incidents took place between October of 2020 and this November. Charges include 8 felony counts of grand theft and 120 misdemeanor counts of petty theft.
This was an operation that's been in the works for more than a few weeks. It's been on my radar for more than a few weeks.
So what, we have a whole team following this woman that's going into every single Target and stealing the TV. You got to steal a lot to steal $40,000 from a Target. Target stuff is usually pretty cheap.
But this is just one high-profile case. And city business owners like Martha Aston of Cliss Variety in the Castro District say theft is something they deal with on a daily basis.
Yesterday we stopped one person. We caught him on camera. It was like, hey, watch this guy. We watched him go through the store. He stuck it under his coat. And his response was, well, it's just human nature.
You know, it's just human nature to steal. It's just we're bred that way. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Thefson says while she and her team have grown accustomed to dealing with crime in their store, it still remains taxing and sometimes even dangerous. She, like many other businesses throughout the city, believes that law enforcement should be prosecuting some offenders more often.
Some of these people are chronic offenders. The police know who they are. I mean, and you know, the burglaries are one thing. The theft inside the store is another thing. I mean,
and she's right. The cops do know who these people are. They know that they're repeat offending, and it takes 100 incidents of theft before the district attorney finally steps in because, you know, if they put this woman's face all over the news, they'll make an example out of her and people won't be shoplifting in San Francisco. In fact, maybe they'll do what London Breed wants them to do because, as you know, what she has said,
you don't have to do this.
You don't have to steal. You could be a bus driver.
When they're going into Walgreens, you know, brazenly just filling bags, yes, they should be prosecuted.
The district attorney says his office is working to bring more repeat offenders to justice and offers this message to concerned businesses.
We have your back, and if you're in fear, our work is not done. Whatever we can do, we will do. We want you to reach out, step up to help us help you.
In San Francisco, Tim Johns, ABC 7 News.
And the only reason, by the way, that Chesa Boudin is even prosecuting this woman is because the recall for his office has just qualified for the ballot. So early next year, there is going to be an election in San Francisco to get rid of him, a guy that's actually worse than George Gascon.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
But because he's in San Francisco, you can't do as much damage. San Francisco is actually a really small city compared to Los Angeles, and he could be replaced with somebody that actually wants to enforce crime. We'll be watching that case very, very, very closely because the recall of Chesa Boudin could mean a lot for the recall of George Gascon, the godfather of all the lawlessness that has happened in California. And that's what we're here to fix on the Fix California Hour. Well, one of the things that we really need to fix in the state of California is education.
Our learning spaces are special places.
But considering all the money that we spend on education, it doesn't necessarily seem to get any better, let alone all the fancy things that we do for our teachers union.
That is fantastic.
A lot of the money from your taxes that go to schools don't even go to her. They go to the do-nothing administrators who push papers around and make ridiculous salaries and do nothing to help educate your children. And for this story, we're going to the Inland Empire at the Ontario Montclair School District. Their superintendent, James Hammond, has the distinct honor of being the highest paid K through 12 administrator for 3 years in a row. That's right. A superintendent for Ontario Montclair makes more than the governor, makes more than fake Dr. Barbara Ferrer.
No, thank you.
Makes more than the president. Definitely makes more than the majority of people listening. Oh, I don't know. We probably have some really well-off people. But do you make $600,000 a year? Because James Hammond, the Ontario Montclair School District Superintendent, does. Now, how did he get up there? Because let me just tell you, his base salary is not $600,000 a year. But this administrator, a superintendent, which tell me what a superintendent does. I beg you, they do nothing. He has a deal where he is allowed to cash in his vacation days and his sick days at the end of the year for extra salary. What job allows you not just to cash in your vacation days, which here in the private sector, you're lucky if you get vacation days and you're never cashing those out, but you can cash in your sick days? He cashed in, this James Hammond, the Ontario Montclair School District Superintendent, 85 work days. That's right. In fact, if you add the vacation, he exchanged 110 days of leave for cash. and was paid. Got an extra $167,000 in pay for cashing in his vacation and his sick days. And what do you know? He did it last year, but he only did 100 days, so he only got $150,000. So if you add his regular salary, his benefits, and his cashed in vacation and sick days, this administrator has now made $600,000 this year. James Hammond, the Ontario Montclair School District Superintendent, has a contract. And by the way, I got to find out where this guy got his agent because, oh my God, I want to cash in my sick days. I've taken last time I took a sick day here, McIntyre was still working here, and we were at the other building on La Cienega in Fairfax. Hammond's contract provides sick time that continues to increase by 5 days for every year going forward. Every year he works for the school district, he gets 5 more sick days, and that adds in perpetuity. This guy must be doing a heck of a job. I can't wait to look at the graduation rates of Ontario Montclair. In total, Ontario Montclair has paid him an extra $730,859 for 522 of the 665 days of leave he has accrued since July of 2015. That means he still has 143 days that he either took vacation or he's got banked for even more money. Now, he does not consider this money to be a bonus. In fact, he responded to ABC7 about this report saying, "My fringe benefit of sick leave allows me the flexibility to consider accruing unused sick leave or cashing out my annual allocation of sick leave." What job allows you to cash in your sick days, let alone getting 85 sick days a year? And don't they already get 3 months off for the summer? And you wonder why your kids are so dumb.
Our learning spaces are special places.
Okay, that was mean. Your friends' kids. Your kids are fine because you've raised them right. But that's where all the money goes. When we talk about funding education, it fattens the wallets of the Ontario Montclair School District Superintendent, because he gets to cash in his 85 vacation days a year and his 25 vacation days a year and his sick time, and he's making 600 grand to do a horrible job. I'm back to the commercial break. Let's look up some of the records going there. 800-222-KABC is the phone number. We'll do the sidewalk story maybe tomorrow, maybe later on in the show. But coming up in just a bit, Eric Garcetti came out of his hidey hole to hold a press conference because, well, nobody paid attention to him yesterday at the port press conference.
I received things on both ends.
And Kamala Harris responds to the criticism that the Biden administration hates her guts on Good Morning America. But while we're still fixing California, I had to investigate the performance of the Ontario Montclair School District, the school district that pays their district superintendent $600,000 this year because he's allowed to exchange 110 days of leave, 25 days of vacation, and 85 sick days for cash. Who gets 85 sick days? And who gets to cash them in? So this must be like the best performing school district in the nation if this guy's getting $600,000 to be the superintendent. Well, if you go to eddata.org, let's look at Ontario Montclair in San Bernardino. And in 2018-2019, the most recent year that data has been available, when it comes to English language literacy, about 35% have not met, 30.4% of students have not met level one standards, which means they're not even going to graduate. About 25% have nearly met level two, which means maybe they can get to community college. Okay, maybe they're not good at English. How about math? Well, in math, 35.9% of students in the Ontario Montclair School District have not met the level one requirements for understanding math. So, This James Hammond's doing a heck of a job there in Ontario Montclair. You know what? I really, really, really want to work at a job where I can cash in my sick days. As somebody who almost never gets sick, knock on wood, and who just has these days wasted, destroyed at the end of the year, unlike vacation days that roll over in California, my sick days don't roll over. I'm going to cash those things in. then I could buy that Tesla. We got one more hour coming up here on the John Phillips Show. Eric Garcetti is back, and maybe he'll even try to rhyme.
Just be smart and stay apart.
He'll talk about getting COVID in Glasgow. We'll have him and Kamala Harris coming up here on the John Phillips Show. It's Randy Wang here till 3 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.